One set of sevens.
The book of Revelation is an historical account of events in order of time of the entire age since Jesus' death. In various chapters, it treats seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven plagues. Brethren, the major focus of our comments today will deal with seven trumpets, although we also will refer to seven churches and suggest a possible messenger for each of those churches. The seven trumpets in Revelation are not literal soundings intended to be heard with a literal ear, but those who have spiritual ears to hear have heard and heeded the soundings of the trumpets. This is especially so in our day with the sounding of the seventh trumpet. The seven trumpet blasts of Revelation 8 through 11 are seven declarations of judgment which fall on political, religious systems which impact God's elect. Events associated with it mark the end of an objective. The seven trumpets are synchronous in time with the seven messages of the seven angels. It would be very difficult to separate the message from the messenger, as they are intrinsic in nature. We will lay emphasis on the message each messenger had, which translate into their writings with its intended audience. Additionally, there are many Bible students who have written commentaries regarding the book of Revelation. And while there are some similarities in what they reveal, there are distinct differences in some of the conclusions reached as they apply in different verses in this prophetic book. Our presentation today, therefore, is not to give the right interpretation of Revelation, but rather to suggest some broad outlines in terms of understanding the meaning of the seven trumpets, which are discussed in Revelation chapter 8, verses 6 through 11:19. Here is a quote from one Bible student commentary that expresses well our thoughts concerning a study of the book of Revelation. Before the comment, just on the side, when I was in Australia, a brother asked me a question. You were studying Revelation? I said, yes. And how many? About 12. And how is it going? Well, if you have 12 brethren studying Revelation study, you'll have 14 remarks. Here's a quote. In interpreting the word of the Lord, judgments must be made within the text, context, and the truth of the harvest message to determine what seems the best way to harmonize the whole. When one viewpoint is given, it does not mean other viewpoints may not have merit or be viable. This work is an attempt at truth in harmony with the constant realization of human fallibility and weakness of judgment. The goal, however, is to provide a reasonable and consistent basis for understanding Revelation within the paradigm of the harvest message, and to provide increased light to meet our increased responsibility to revealed truth. There are still loose ends that need the passing of time to bring greater clarity. Unquote. In the spirit of the foregoing, let us now look at our subject at hand. As we have suggested earlier, we believe the seven trumpets are synchronous in time with the seven messages and of the seven angels. Since we are told in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, that the seven angels are held in the right hand of our Lord, we conclude these angels are human instrumentalities that the Master specially guides to deliver messages to his people throughout the seven stages of the church, of the gospel age. Few rules. If you're looking at me, you may miss the entire presentation because I'm going to put the scriptures. It's up for you all to read because I will describe the scriptures. It's no point in repeating the scriptures. The words are highlighted, so you'll get a connection. And you're welcome to look at me. I know I'm very good looking. Here's a portion of the message to the angel of the first period of the church of Ephesus, found in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And the scriptures tell us as to what the admonition for the church is. And I will come to a little portion of that later, and at the end of this session, this paragraph. And it's telling us what the angel to the church write. And when it's written, what do? We read, we comprehend it, internalize it. We would suggest the messenger to this period of the church is Apostle Paul. And the period it ran from AD 33 until 70 AD. What took place? At which time Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. This was a period of transition from the Jewish economy and a time when the Christian church was persecuted both by Jews and the Roman Empire. And the message to the true church was one of patient endurance. The corresponding trumpet message is recorded as follows. It is very difficult in 40 minutes to go into every symbolism of this message, except to suggest the Jewish edict and teachings were repudiated by this turncoat messenger who shed light on the importance of observing the ordinances which were no longer required and hence redundant. Cast upon the earth indicates that this messenger spoke to the inhabitants of the earth, who were Jews and Gentiles. It is believed that the messenger was well known amongst the Judaic believers as well, and worked intimately with the Gentiles, whose teachings also had a major effect on pagan Rome. The account is found in Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 23. Acts 17, 22 through 23. What was the message? Purification of hard truths relating to ransom. That's what Apostle Paul stressed on. Yes, no more of those ordinances of the old ransom. The doctrine of ransom. And that's the focus in our belief also, brethren. And we know the gospel was preached both to the Jews and the Gentiles. I would like to say more, but we'll leave the other details for your personal study and consideration, except to reiterate the messages in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 are primarily to comfort believers, whereas the trumpet messages were destructive to the influences of the false church, and the case of this first trumpet, it was destructive to the influence of the Jewish leaders who did not realize the dispensation change and phasing out of Judaism now that Christianity had been established. Did I move really quickly? Yeah, probably yes. Now here's a part of the second message, brethren. To the angel of the second period of the church of Smyrna, found in Revelation chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. I've chosen these two for a specific reason. And here, as you can see the scriptures, we'll come to the meanings of some of them. I would suggest the messenger to this church was Apostle John, who is credited for authoring this book of Revelation while documenting what was given to Jesus by God. The time period was from AD 70 until AD 313. John set the stage for a faithful ministry that brought tremendous growth to Christianity, even when persecutions raged, hence termed the persecution age. The church underwent severe persecution, especially under the Diocletian reign from AD 303 and 313. Christians were compelled to sacrifice to pagan gods or face imprisonment and execution. An encouragement to the church was one of reassurance to fight the good fight against all odds. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The corresponding trumpet message is recorded as follows. Revelation 8:8. And as already Brother George Tabak touched upon some of these when he was talking about it yesterday, mountain symbolizes kingdom. And what kingdom are we talking about? Rome itself is not destroyed. Only pagan Rome was destroyed. Hence the expression, something like a great mountain. The restless masses of humanity were the cause for the downfall of pagan Rome. And that's the point of burning with fire was cast into the sea, while the establishment of apostate church took hold. Those that lost their lives to their former estate while embracing Christianity. And that's the symbolism of that, representing the third part of the sea became blood and lost their lives. I wanted to ask you, as Brother Adam did yesterday, do you hear me? And I'm sure you would have said yes. Do you understand me? I'm sure you would have said yes. At the end of this discourse, I will ask you that question. Moving forward, we look at Revelation 8:9. And the key word here is referring to who had life. Paganism did not have life in the Lord's eyes, as they did not have the Holy Spirit. Only three groups in the sea, that is people who had life, meaning having justification, are being referred here. Some faithful who overcame, the true saints, some wavered, the great company, and some lost their lives, the second death class. And we look at the next portion of the aspect of, now that pagan Rome was gone, all those individuals who did business with pagan Rome, went out of business. And that's referred to how the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the message was the emergence of Antichrist. As Christianity grew, the emergence of Antichrist really took hold, the beginning of them. I've selected the following two verses to the message to the next stage of the church, and that is Pergamum. It would suggest the messenger to this period was Arius. He was from Alexandria, Egypt. He was a Christian presbyter, leader in a local Christian congregations, which is synonymous to a bishop, elder, or minister. The Pergamus period of the church's history covered approximately from AD 313 through 1157 AD, wherein the purity of the truth was beclouded regarding the nature of God and Christ, finally leading to Trinity and the mean-spirited tendency that went with it. The false church tends to record him as the greatest heretic of all times, besides our Lord, who was the greatest heretic to the Jews. And the message to the church was faithful. Thou hast not denied the faith. Moving further, looking at the next scripture, it gives us some indication as to how this all happens. And here's the examples. First of all, the seven angels were also called stars in Revelation 1:20. What was the angel doing to deserve a fall? This messenger's particular message was so powerful that he fell from favor of majority Christians. Although he was part of the church's hierarchy, his message was so strong that he had to be forcibly evicted from the heaven of his day, which was the apostate or the ecclesiastical church. He was out of favor in the new dominantly ecclesiastical heaven, mainly because his views were so antagonistic to the doctrine of Nicolaitans, it simply means only human headships qualified to preach gospel. He could not tolerate lordship in the church. How could the apostate church grow and function without lordship? If he was in favor of the church's hierarchy, his anti-Trinitarian view would not have been so heretical after all. And the truth is a lamp unto our feet. This messenger shone brightly as he defended God's word while burning and shining lamps and not hiding it under a bushel. And when we look at these words, it gives us a good understanding of what it means. This star was called Wormwood, not by God, but someone else who decided it. And it was a good title. And the opposite of sweetness, that is leaning on the Lord, or bitterness, whatever you do which ridicules or belittles you for the sake of the truth, it is suffering. So the one-third became Wormwood. What does that mean? The followers and the doctrine of Wormwood. Those with right hearts died to their former conditions, means false teachings, and were persuaded to stand with the Aryan truth, not to be confused with Hitler about the Aryan race. This caused enormous conflicts in the churches, but the Roman authorities threw their weight against the teachings of Arius, and the pagan Trinity carried the day. Message: Bible is the only authority, not councils, not state. And 2 Timothy 1:13 kind of tells us what that means. Starting with Wycliffe and onward, the Bible began to be available and to circulate. At first, in a limited manner, the Word of God began to stand in stark contradiction to the papal teachings, and later to the Protestant compromise teachings. And here is some of the message to the angel of the fourth period of Church of Thyatira, found in Revelation 2:18 and 19. We would suggest the messenger to this period is Waldo, a wealthy businessman from Lyon, France. He is credited with providing Europe the first translation of the Bible in a modern language outside of Latin. Thyatira era of the church's history ran from AD 1157 to 1367. During this period, Waldo engaged followers who were called the poor men of Lyon to help distribute the Gospels and were characterized from the beginning by lay preaching, voluntary poverty, and strict adherence to the Bible. And the message: you have hold fast with sweet sacrifice of labor. The corresponding trumpet message is recorded as follows. The third part of the sun smitten, you are smitten with the knowledge which you did not know before. Gospel age teachings of the New Testament. Why do we think the sun represents that? Here is the scripture, and here's the reasoning. And the moon, representing the Jewish law and the writings from the prophets of old. And here's the reason. In addition to that, the Jewish months and keeping of the feasts were measured by the moon. The moon began to wane at the height of their fullness of favor, while at the cross their national favor ended. The star in this context, representing the apostolic teachings. And what was darkened? The lack of understanding of those who claim to know the Bible or its teachings is called darkness. And the message that this messenger to the church of Thyatira gave out struck into hearts of three parts: the apostate church, the orthodox church, and the true church. With the advent of the translation of the Bible from Latin to French, where common men now had access to the Bible, therefore darkness was spewed out by papacy, which did not want the light to be revealed, which could not endure the teachings of this messenger and the promulgation of the Bible. The established source of light was smitten by those who opposed the truth. Here is a description of eagle. Eagle is a description or a mechanism to promulgate the message. And in this context, eagle turns out to be the Bible, which had dual effect. One, edifying and encouraging the true church throughout the ages. Two, to the counterfeit or apostate church, which did not like the message because the message opposed its motives. And the first time we see, woe, woe, woe. Fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets are designated as woe trumpets. Why? Because the messages were more forceful than the preceding trumpets. And we will see that. And the message again, individuals must study the Bible to enrich faith. Until then, it was clergy. During the fifth stage of the church, we will cite the following verse. That is Revelation 3, 1 and 2. And we propose the messenger to this stage of the church, to Sardis, was John Wycliffe, an English scholar and a professor at Oxford, who had the Bible translated in the common English language. And this era of church's history ran from 1367 AD to 1517 AD. I especially appreciate this comment concerning the Sardis stage of the church by Brother Russell, and quote the following from Reprint 59:93. Sardis is said to mean that which remains, as if it signified a useless remnant, something out of which life or virtue had gone. The nominal church during this period had the appearance of being what it was not, having a form of godliness without its power. Sardis was the remains of the true church which had been driven into the wilderness. But when the persecution began to subside, her zeal also abated. Persecution has always developed the vigor of the church. Additionally, it has been suggested that the majority of the spirit begotten during that stage of the church would probably be the great company class, end quote. This is indeed a sobering thought. Concerning the fifth trumpet message during the Sardis era, we read the following. Here, we would suggest the star that fell from heaven refers to Wycliffe's fall from grace, a similarity between Arius also. He fell from grace, so to speak, from the ecclesiastical heaven. Before he started his trumpeting work, he was held in high esteem by the established church. Some of his activities, however, brought him into disfavor by attacking papal practices and doctrines. We will cite a few more verses in Revelation 9 related to this fifth trumpet and make additional comments as follows. It's interesting when you look at the lifespan of a locust is 150 days, between 5 and 6 months, and symbolism is used. A huge fold of individuals who were carrying the truth. It was the dissemination of the truth which was in the pit. There were lots of individuals in England who went forth while carrying the Bibles and the truth everywhere. The followers of this messenger were called Lollards. It was the truth which gave the sting, not the Lollards. We are in the beginning of light when the Bible was translated. The clergy did not like it because this caused the absolute suppression which they wielded. Wycliffe's followers were prepared for battle, like horses prepared for battle, challenging the papacy by devouring while being the instruments to deliver the truth. This should happen according to God's authority, God-like, which was supported by scriptures. And then when we look at the following verse, sorry, I was a little late there, a little tube light. Both the words Abaddon and Apollyon mean the same thing, destruction or destroyer. And how does this meaning pertain to this messenger? By letting the Bible truths out of the abyss, he opened the door for truth to begin its destructive work against the lies of papacy. Those scorpions and locusts were a plague on false Christianity because of their perpetual stinging. The effect brought woe to the clergy. The Bible was the effect which caused a woe on papacy. A woe which, with such force, did not happen to papacy ever before. The message of truth, the light of the Bible going out, which brought huge problems to the existing system. The message, again, first complete Bible for all to read without clergy. And we are talking about huge numbers now. We'll come to that next, and we will see how huge the numbers were. And Acts 17:11 clearly tells us what that means. And in every message, although it applies to the apostate church also, there are certain messages for us as well, brethren. And we'll touch upon it in our summary. Here's a portion of the message to the angel of the sixth period of church, found in Revelation 3, 7, and 8. We would suggest that the messenger to this period of the church was Martin Luther, and would propose that it ran from about 1518 AD until 1874 AD. Maybe someday the General Convention Committee can have a study or a discussion amongst brethren on a podium as to how do we arrive at these messengers. That's not purview or germane to our conversation today. Martin Luther was a German priest and a professor of theology who's credited to have initiated the Protestant movement. Luther taught that salvation is not from good works, but a free gift of God, received only by grace through faith in Jesus as Redeemer from sin. And that's the justification by faith was the cornerstone during this period of Reformation age. In addition, of course, the French Revolution also, while it went parallel with this, had a huge impact at this stage of the church. In addition, he strongly disputed the claim that freedom from God's punishment of sin could be purchased with money called indulgences. And that's what led him to propose his 95 Theses, which was nailed. Following are the corresponding trumpet message we shall consider. The four angels who were in position of power over the corrupt system, the Babylon, the great Babylon, pictured by the river Euphrates, which had complete control over the four elements that could not function outside the approval of papacy. Incidentally, river Euphrates is literal Babylon, in literal Babylon, did serve many purposes: trade, sustenance, protection. They were loosed because this messenger's message and the full weight of the scriptures could no longer be suppressed as people studied the Bibles. For example, Protestantism, which broken off and established their own, they did not take indulgences as part of their bag of tricks. This was one of the factors also which led to the French Revolution. Therefore, the four did not operate the same way it once did before this breaking away. Some of the messages which emanated from Luther converted some Catholics into Protestants, Protestantism. They were influenced by the message of the reformers, and when Luther blew the trumpet, which was so powerful, saying no intermediary was required to have a relationship with God, justification by faith, they were killed as Catholics and reborn as Protestants. And the professed Christians who promoted Protestantism as per the chart published by London Missionary Society, found in our volume 1, page 16, where it is recorded, there were 116 Protestants and 84 Greek Catholics, which totals about 200 million who opposed papacy. And this is the number I was referring to, what bearing it had. As we know, horses represent doctrines. Doctrines were so fierce and offensive in character, as was the initial trend of Protestant reforms, which began in Wycliffe's day. Perhaps his followers, like the Lollards, had something to do with it as well, as the harvest message that also had the effect of converting those who were formerly in the system which emanated from their mouth, witnessing what was destructive of old ideas and ways, fire and brimstone. It was confusing to many of its enemies. That's the smoke. Thus, the trumpet messages of Wycliffe, Luther, and Brother Russell were to be especially destructive to papacy, since it was no longer as ironclad as it was once. As we saw earlier in Revelation 8:13, where the predicted woes were announced, and that was probably at the end of the fourth trumpet, as Wycliffe was dubbed the morning star of the Reformation. The rest of the mankind were not killed with these plagues. They repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver, brass or stone or wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And we're looking at, and they repented not of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of the fornication. What does this mean? This is a segment of Christian world which remained Catholic. They did not change the way they did things just because Protestant Reformation had come. They have the doctrine of devils as opposed to the truth. Gold, divinity, vicegerent here on earth, silver, we are the repository of truth. Brass, justification by faith. The message, as we saw, justification by faith, the door is open to leave the non-reformable system. And there's the call. In the remaining time, brethren, we will come to the seventh message from the angel to the period of the seventh church. And here are the scriptures as to what it means. Remember, I mentioned that in chapters 2 and 3, the messages are to comfort the true church. Something for you to think about. If it is hot, if your heart are cold, the Lord approves of you to be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, He's going to spew thee out. And there are some descriptions about it. If it's pertaining to the world, being cold, the messages to comfort, it's for the church, not for the world. We would suggest that the messenger to the Spirit was Brother Charles Stace Russell, and would propose that it ran from AD 78 until the end of the harvest. During this period of time, his core message to the church class was, "Come out of her, my people, since the harvest of separating wheat from the tares has begun." And the prophetic knock, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him." Brethren, this relates to Christ's invisible return during his second advent. The corresponding trumpet message is recorded as follows. We look at some definitions. Great voices or voices. These are God's children who are proclaiming the Lord's second advent and the truth to the nominal heavens, ecclesiastical powers. The kingdoms of this world are still attempting to make war. The woe trumpet is a process in which the harvest does not end until the burning of the tares, when the tares no longer exist as a system. That will be after the mystery, the church is completed, and the understanding of God's plan is not obscured. Perhaps we'll read from volume 1, page 75, as follows, I quote, "A similar mistake, and a very common one, is to suppose that God's kingdom is now established and ruling over the earth, and that His will is now done among the nations. This is manifestly far from the truth, for the kingdoms of this world are supported and enriched through oppression, injustice and deceit. to as great an extent as the increasing intelligence of the people will permit, Satan, the present prince of this world, must yet be displaced, and these kingdoms, now under his control, must become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his anointed, when he shall take unto himself his great power and reign." End quote. I would suggest there are many loud voices that has been proclaiming the message to the nominal heavens about the impending change in earth's affairs to be brought about by God's kingdom when righteousness shall flourish. But the actual time when the kingdom of the world becomes the kingdom of Jehovah and his Christ, the Christ, hidden body, will be in the future, and I'm certain in the heavenly domain all the angelic host will rejoice when they witness this beautiful fulfillment of God's plan, just as the sons of God rejoiced to see the creation of man some 6,000 years plus ago, before sin entered into the world. These scriptures, I'll paraphrase what it means, summarize, the personification of our Heavenly Father, these were identified by the testimony of the prophecies seen as predicted and as they seem to be fulfilled, while uniformly giving adoration and praise to the Heavenly Father. These were the holy prophets who initiated the testimony he promised and delivered. At the time when the prophetic testimony concerning the glory of the established kingdom begins to bless mankind is realized, which I believe is a future event, symbolically, these elders will then acknowledge the grandeur and fulfillment of God's great plan of salvation for mankind. This would seem to be in the future after the glorification of the church and the establishment of the new covenant as described in Matthew 25:31. The lease of power given to the Gentiles over Israel in 1914 is when the wrath began. The first work of our Lord when he entered the strong man's house was to raise the sleeping saints. We are talking about the prophecy which cannot be part of the millennial age. When all this is wrapped up, and the wrapping up is at the end of this age, no one will be destroying the earth in kingdom. We are looking at a vision during this time where we have a spiritual insight. We begin to see a transitional period where there is change of control and living, while the general of Jehovah is in operation. Brethren, Revelation being a book of symbols, therefore does have a bigger meaning than the literal things. The French Revolution is a prototype which brings about Armageddon, referred to as an earthquake, communism being another form of earthquake, sexual orientation rights, a perpetual change of many aspects of society, financial upheaval, political changes in structure. The media, with all its sophisticated ideas, when transmitted, instantly will perpetuate stimulation. The message, it's referring to, come out of her, my people. Papal system is no longer the mouthpiece, and the Lord is present. In summary, brethren, as you ponder upon these things, what does it mean to us? What happens when each trumpet message is delivered during the gospel age in order of time since Jesus' death? The trumpet messages are not recorded, so they must be filled by history. The seven trumpets were divinely provided, which means that these seven angels were placed in positions by the Lord so that their messages would be effective in reaching the intended audience at the appointed time. The seven angels could not deliver the message until provided with the means to do so. The messages from these messengers are so noteworthy because of the impact it had on the apostate church. What impact does it have on us? And why should we study Revelation? It suggests, this scripture suggests, brethren, that the Lord God would send an angel to show his servants, us, the things must shortly be done.